Yeah, we have one sort of sick girlfriend, and she's
one sort of not
valiantly come in, and one sort of not. Yeah, that's true. You know what I was thinking about yesterday, Kathy, was how we used to work holidays, and we never had to work a Christmas because they put
you
a show together. That's all
right. Yeah,
exactly. But if you had to work, we certainly worked a lot of Thanksgivings, and I kind of liked it in a way because I felt that we were like a team of people against the world. You know, we were coming in, we got a good parking place, you know,
we didn't
have to cook Thanksgiving dinner because we were like working till one
right.
or whatever. But I imagine some people really don't mind it. Some people love it. And some people are resentful. I don't know. I'd love to hear from our listeners.
I mean, I certainly would think the retail people, that the Targets and the Walmarts and whatever, that the stores stay open on those days, they're probably resentful. But it has always been the case that nurses and policemen and firemen and who else? 7-Eleven always are open and operative on the holidays.
I know, but I wonder how different people feel. I mean, some people may feel, call us at 312-981-7200, because my thought is that some people say on Thanksgiving, if you worked for one of those stores that got open early on Thanksgiving, you know, like at 4 p.m. of Thanksgiving Day for what do they call it?
Black Friday. Yeah.
Right. If in fact you found yourself really being glad to get away from that Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, you mean being able to say, oh, sorry, I can't stay.
Yeah.
I have
and
to work.
Sort of, you right. know, you know, and even, you know, putting kind of a martyr tone on it while in fact
you were like a relief. So relieved.
Yeah,
glad to get out of here. Yeah.
Right.
And yesterday, while we're waiting for your calls and texts at 312-981-7200, on Thursday, on Christmas Eve, our Jewel was open until 6.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And at about 5:25, I realized that I was out of something that I would need, and that was Tupperware containers or Glad containers or whatever. I didn't have any. I didn't move in.
To send people home with food.
Yeah, or to save, yeah, or to keep food, because I was doing all the cooking yesterday. And so at about 5:40, I ran out to the Jewel to pick those up at the last minute. So.
And you were grateful for the person there. Now, this is Jill.
Hey, Jill.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hi.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. Actually, before I get into my story real quick, it was sort of funny. I work in a Catholic hospital, St. Mary's in Milwaukee, and there's a big creche, and they don't put baby Jesus until Christmas. So I walk in yesterday, and all there is red ribbon. I go, oh, my God, code pink. That's what infant adoption is. And I'm like, code pink. And it was on the altar, I guess, in the chapel. But I'm like, yeah, buy another Jesus. So that they're staring at an empty crib.
Where do you go for Jesus? Well, I guess Walmart, right?
I guess so. Or maybe like the garden section. I know they moved the whole thing. Cardinal Dolan, he used to be Archbishop, and now he's Archbishop of New York. You saw him a lot when the Pope was here. They moved all that when he came in. We got a new hospital to tour it, but it was, I don't know. I think a lot of kids, don't tell me, I'm Jewish, and they say, oh, you're Jewish, you're tight or whatever. Catholic people seem tight, like they don't want to spend money on anything or they buy the cheapest.
We didn't say it. We didn't
like
say it, Jill did.
Ice cream. I don't know. We got nothing this year. But anyways, I'm a little resentful about working because I was supposed to have 6 days off. I'm a medical laboratory technician. I draw blood and do the lab work.
Uh-huh. So do people assume because
department?
Do they assume because you're Jewish that it's okay for you don't mind working on Christmas?
I don't think they really get that I'm Jewish. I remind them, but
You don't
we
look
still
Jewish.
We sort of celebrate. We still, no, I look Jewish. You saw me.
What does that mean?
I don't really think I remember. And we still celebrate. We didn't when I was a child. We never had a Christmas tree or presents, but we got them from our aunts and uncles.
Who weren't
and we
Jewish?
Do Christmas. Yeah, we're Jewish, but we weren't observant.
Okay.
Particular
okay.
Family. But what got me is that I had 6 days off, and then I was supposed to work Christmas second shift. So, you know, I got an 89-year-old aunt, so you never know. And my nephew was out from Portland, you know, and we moved the day from instead of Christmas Day to Christmas Eve. And a girl called in for Christmas Eve. And this girl is, some of the younger people now, their work ethic is not good.
You mean called in as in said she was sick?
Right. When I think a lot of times this, I don't feel like doing this, I don't want to do this, or I'm hungover, you know, and this is a pattern with this person.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, they never get fired. It's certain people seem to finagle that they don't work any holidays. This is like probably my third or fourth Christmas in a row. You know, I would say, I don't know if she's, I don't know, they just get what they want, certain people. I don't know why. So I was a little resentful.
Jill, when you work a holiday like that, do people ever express appreciation? Because I know if I'm in a store on Christmas Eve or whatever, I just always say thank you for working.
I do too.
Do people ever say thank you for drawing my blood today?
No, not really.
No, not appreciative.
I think they like the people who bring the people in hospitals that they like to see the most is the nurse with the morphine or the.
Oh, don't we all?
They give, no, they give some other new drug, and I'm too sleepy to remember the name of it, but that's who they're happy to see. And the food guy sometimes. But,
but not the person with the blood.
The morphine
stuff.
Nurse is tantamount to like a flower delivery
right.
guy who, you
oh,
know,
right.
it always
I
makes
get
people
morphine.
Happy.
Morphine.
Yeah.
Campers, yeah.
Well, Jill, right. thank you for working on Christmas, even though it didn't make you that happy.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, the people left in the hospital on Christmas are people who are really sick.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I do feel a sense of accomplishment and importance to what I do. So
good for you.
I just didn't like the inconsiderateness of some people. But,
the ones
yeah.
who call in sick when they're not.
Yeah, because
right.
we got a better offer.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. Well, Jill, thank you, and Merry Christmas
thank you.
And whatever.
Merry Christmas.
Okay.
Sorry.
This is Erlene. Hey, Erlene.
Hi, how are you?
All right, thanks.
I had called because I'm always reminded each Christmas when my husband had to work holidays. He's an engineer for the railroad, been working since he was 18 years for the railroad, thank goodness. He was a brakeman in our very first year before we got married, and I stayed at my parents' house too long trying to help get the dishes washed, didn't even eat dinner. And he had to be home at a certain time to take his calls on the extra board. And that's Christmas Eve. Well, by me staying late and us arriving home late that night, we missed the opportunity for him to have double time and a half for 2 days, for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Which was a lot of money when you're not working every day.
Erlene, how long ago was that?
That was when we were very young. We've been married now. We'll be 40 years this January.
Four or 40?
It works a different way as time goes by because then you had to be calling your house to accept your calls.
No.
Four years or 40 years?
How long have you been married?
We will be married 40 years in January.
And you're still ticked off about what happened before you got married.
I'm not ticked off. I'm upset with myself realizing as an older person now, you know, here you had 5 days pay that you missed. Before your husband and your family, you missed it because you decided to stay a little late, talk a little late, and he missed the phone call to go to work. And at that time, you've got to figure this is like in the 80s when things were really bad everywhere. You know, everybody was being laid off everywhere. And here we were. We had the opportunity to have that money. And my kindness to my family, we suffered for a couple of weeks. So I've never complained from that date forward when my husband had to work a holiday. because I understand that someone has to be there in those jobs, you know, the railroad.
But you really like the pay and a half.
Well, I understood what I did to my family because at that time, you know, things we weren't working. He wasn't working steadily.
Right.
We were on extra work.
And there were no cell phones.
Well, and then it got better because then when he a little bit later in time he had a pager, so he could page you.
Right.
And then you got call forwarding. Okay, so you could be someplace at some house, you know, at a family home, and get a call to go to work. You had to leave, but at least you had your meant. Now you don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, he's getting ready to retire and stuff like that.
Earlene, thank you.
How was this Christmas? Earlene, how was this Christmas?
This was terrific. You
good.
Know, but we do have nurses in our family. My daughter's a pediatrician. I mean, they've got to work.
Yeah.
Know? And, we ought to be grateful for the people that do go out and take care of us.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call. And
You're welcome.
We'll be back to more of your calls and your texts at 312-981-7200. Goes best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Kathy and Judy back. We're just talking.
Is that working music? I thought they'd have something like working
in the coal
chain
mines, going down. We're just talking to those of you who may wind up having to work on the holidays. And this is Chris. This is about your husband, right, Chris?
No.
Oh, that's you.
I am. Me, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. No, I was going to say, I'm a FedEx driver. I mean, I guess, you know, technically it's not retail. Customer service, but you know, it gets hard, you know, being out there like Thursday night. I didn't get home till 8:30 at night.
Oh boy.
And, you know, we're doing 14 hours a day, 6 days a week during December. And my wife works for Jewel, so she's working every holiday.
Oh man.
We have a 6-year-old son, and you know, I feel like I never see him. You know, Christmas Eve, he was at the babysitter all day. Black Friday, he was at the babysitter. I had to work Thanksgiving morning. It's just, you know, it gets
Do people ever give you a little something for the effort?
You know, I think the 6 years I've been doing this, I think total I've gotten maybe $100 over six
mm-hmm.
years.
Really? Yeah. See,
yeah.
I generally keep Target cards around for the mailman, for the FedEx guy, if I can catch him, or the UPS guy. Because you guys do work hard. And I wasn't Amazon even delivering on Christmas Day for Amazon Plus customers or something?
That's a prime
Amazon,
customer.
Right.
Yeah, Amazon has their own drivers now. And there was even FedEx and UPS guys out yesterday and the post office. I didn't work myself. It was optional. But
good.
How do you mean they have their own drivers? I've never seen I order from Amazon Prime all the time, and I see it come in a UPS van.
Well, they just opened up a warehouse or like a distribution center up around Rockford over in that area, and you'll see them there drive around like the plain white vans or the plain white, like the Nissan trucks, and yeah, they have their own. I think they deliver like the really expensive stuff, though.
Interesting.
And soon there'll be that Amazon drone coming
and the
to your
Amazon
doorstep.
Cars and everything else. Well, Chris, thanks for the extra time you put in. We appreciate it, even if you don't get that much in the way of something.
All right, thank you,
okay.
Ladies. Have a great day.
Uh-huh, bye-bye. And this is another one that Mary wants to point out. Hi, Mayor.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I feel so badly because yesterday I went to thank the driver of CTA train.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Evanston. I'm a city girl, raised in Bridgeport, etc. But I ended up in Evanston, so I take the purple line, red line, then all the way to Sox Park to get picked up. And I couldn't thank him because there was so much noise with the traffic on the expressway right next to the train. But they deserve a thank you. They're there. I never owned a car in holidays.
Really?
Never did. That's another show.
We'll determine that, my darling.
Pardon me?
I said, we'll determine that, my darling.
Okay. But, I mean, my husband was dying at Ravenswood Hospital, and he had to go all through the holidays. CTA was there. Yesterday, of course, the weather was beautiful. So, but there were days on holidays that these people work in their snow and trouble with the train, and they're just... I just appreciate them so much. I can't afford a cab. you know.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and those buses and trains don't drive themselves, so
exactly.
Yeah.
Good so point. Kudos to them if they're listening.
Good point. Thank you, Mary, for reminding us of that.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
I wonder if they got time and a half.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Two things at my house on Christmas. Number one, because this is the first Christmas in 10 years that I've lived closer to my family since I've moved in from Princeton. I had my family at my house, which was great. I loved that. But there were two things that were big hits. Number one was, have you seen the Google goggles that you put your cell phone in? There are certain places where you can get the videos for it. New York Times offers them. I'm not sure who else. But you slide your phone into it, and it's like the old stereo, what did they call those? Stereoptic viewers, where it used to be you put a card in and it would have the same picture on both sides. Well, this is you have the same video on both sides. But the thing is, when you hold these goggles up to your face and turn to the right, the video turns with you. And you turn to the left and you look up or you look down and you see it's a 360 degree viewing experience.
Now, you're not walking around with it, are you?
No, you're standing there. You're just standing there watching, you know,
you're
or sitting
still.
There.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that made the rounds yesterday. And then the other one was the game Pie in the Face, which is.
No, wait, did you buy this?
I bought this.
Okay, yes.
I had seen Pie in the Face on, I guess, on Google or YouTube or something. And it's a game. It involves whipped cream on a little paddle. And you have to spin the little spinner to see how many times you have to turn. And you click it. Like if you get a two, you just click 1, 2. And then you're fine. And then somebody else has to come and put their face in the hole. For Pie in the Face. But it is, it's such a benign pie in the face. You know, you just squirt some whipped cream on there and whoever is unlucky enough to be the one that it just pops up. It just
seemed to hit Ian's nose in the video.
Yeah, he may not have had his face in fully. Uh-huh. Well, it was just a little glob. It was a glob of whipped cream. But it's just, it's one of those things that you can do as families. I think the other thing that's fun to do as a family is it called Jenga? The thing where it's the tower of individual blocks and you just keep going until you pull out the block that makes it fall down.
Now, when have you known me to
be
play
a game person?
Though I do know what that one is.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder for how many people that's something that people do when they get together over the holidays. Now, you said yesterday you read a book that Erin had given to you.
Yeah, she gave me the book Humans of New York
right.
and their stories.
Right.
And it's a fabulous read and, of course, highly illustrated by these great photographs of people in New York. And then we went in a Christmas kind of mood to see Carol, a movie
uh-huh.
about two lesbians.
In the 50s,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Very gorgeous clothes, and it actually had a little bit of Christmas in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came home, and I'd made some bolognese sauce, so we had spaghetti.
Because
the Chinese restaurants are jammed.
Down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think in every
okay.
city.
I just wondered if there were other families that were doing Pie in the Face. Or or Google goggles or whatever is fun to do when you're getting together with people that you don't see a lot. Whatever. Our number is 312-981-7200. Earlier this month, there was a story about school photos. And I think most of us are familiar with the packages that parents get with one pose, one picture of a kid, and you can spend nothing or you can spend $100 on the packages that are offered. Apparently, school photos are now becoming photo shoots. And I wondered if this is a custom that has found its way to the Midwest yet. the piece that I was reading was from New York, but it said, now they have a child wrangler, the kids can choose the backdrop, and a bunch of different poses.
And don't they have costumes?
Well, they'll...
Or they bring their own?
They bring their own. It's sort of like the senior photos. Judy and I have basically the same senior photo with us in a little cardigan sweater and pearls.
Pearls.
And just sort of soft focus. And now senior pictures are out somewhere. Very few. I don't think... Does anybody anymore get their senior pictures taken in front of a plain backdrop and just a picture? I think they all go out in the woods or have a picture taken with their car or their gun or whatever is important to them.
I know, my nephew, he graduated last year.
Okay,
he's a freshman, yeah.
Okay.
And his picture is, he's got a sweater on with a T-shirt showing, I think, top and bottom, and he's leaning against kind of a post, and his arms are crossed in front of his stomach.
So it's outside. It was taken outside.
I don't know if they had a post in a studio.
Oh.
I can't really tell you. But it's very informal and very welcoming. It's not all stilted and portrait-y.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, I have grandkids that are now... I should have asked yesterday at Christmas what if they're still doing this sort of traditional assembly line, come in, sit down on the chair, smile, here's your picture, goodbye. Now it says that so many of these photographers that are working out of New York, full body portraits have been around for a long time. The seamless color background is a look that has been around for a long time. And that's when they have the paper thing that comes down, so you don't see a division between the wall and the floor. It's just one color.
You're just in the clouds.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's something that it's kind of cute. You certainly get more of a sense of the personality of the kid, but maybe,
absolutely.
But maybe this is something that's only happening on the East Coast, as is often the case, that they
nephew is in the Chicago area.
Okay, but that's senior photos.
Yeah,
these are grade school photos.
Oh, grade.
These
school
are photos,
photos
of 4-year-olds and 6-year-olds and kids in grade school. And there are several companies out there that are doing these and sort of competing with each other and claiming to have the first dibs on these particular processes. But the photos are cute. I mean, they're kids that are dressed like kids. They don't look like they're dressed up in their outfits that they had to go to picture day for. There was a cute ad, I want to say within the last year, of a father whose daughter came out dressed in some little tutu or something like that. Do you remember this? It was a car ad.
Mm-mm.
And he said no, and put her in a very much more conservative outfit, and they're driving to school, and she's sitting in the back seat looking really depressed. And he turns around and goes home and drops her off at school, and she's back in the tutu outfit, and the sign says, Picture Day. So that's how she wanted to dress for Picture Day, and he felt that it was too crazy, but gave in. So 312-981-7200 is our number. This is Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to quickly say that it seems to me that maybe somebody said this, but it seems to me that when they took pictures, I went to high school in the 50s, way back when.
And I'll bet you had a suit and tie on in your senior picture.
Well, you did. And you also, it was also directly linked to the idea of the yearbook. I mean, all
right.
These photographs initially went into the yearbook, and then you could order extra. And that's the way this whole thing got started, as I recall.
Right. But nowadays, the pictures that are in the yearbook, if you look at the senior pictures in any yearbook, none of them are studio photos. They're all taken somewhere else.
Yeah, I've not seen a yearbook for a long time, so I really wouldn't know what they look like today.
Right, right. Okay, thanks. Mike, okay. Do you still have a copy of yours?
I do. I actually do. I have all four of them.
Actually, so do Judy and I. And did you have a crew cut?
I don't have all four.
Mike?
I did. Yeah, I sure did. A flat top
Yep, flat top crew cut. Right, that was very 50s. Very funny. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, pleasure.
Okay.
This is Randy.
Yeah, hey, Randy.
How are we doing, friends?
Say what?
I said, how are we doing?
Oh, we're doing fine, Randy. Thank you.
I'm sorry to throw you for a loop. I have a third grader in the Joliet school system, and they are currently doing the come in, sit down, get your one photo, and get the heck out routine.
Okay.
Really?
Yep.
So it hasn't come to Joliet?
Nothing fun, nothing, no full body shots, no kids having fun. Just sit there, smile, get out of here.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, and did you go for the $100 package?
We had options as low as about $20. So we went with like a $35 package.
Right.
Oh, that's not terrible.
And what grades? What grades are your kids in?
I have one in third grade, and I have one not in school yet.
Okay. Well, it may change. I mean, it will be interesting to see if that. I would love to talk to somebody whose school already has adopted that here in the Midwest, because it seems at this point to be an East Coast thing. Thanks. Thanks for the call, Randy. Happy New Year's. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're talking about a story about class pictures have become more of a photo shoot now, with backdrops. We're not talking about senior pictures. We know most kids with senior pictures are not doing traditional shots. One of our texters says, for high school senior pictures, my niece had 3 dress changes and 5 background styles. This is Eric. Hey, Eric.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on my senior pictures back in the late 90s and then how my son was done. They do allow you to pick different backgrounds, but they're more just the traditional based on what you're wearing. You know, you can have a gray, a blue, or there's even like magenta. Most, you know, you can kind of select based on what you were wearing.
This is when you were a senior in high school.
I'm saying just recently with my son, he had kindergartner pictures taken, so they allowed you to select a different color background. It wasn't just, you know, one standard background. But yeah, when my senior pictures were taken, I had the same thing. I had multiple wardrobe changes. But everyone had to go to the photographer to get the yearbook picture taken, and then you had the option if you wanted to have your whole, like you said, a photo shoot. You know, I was in sports, so they did a sports one, a dressed-up one, and then just a casual. So I didn't have a ton of wardrobe changes, but just a few.
Well, now that's interesting, because I know that I did the photos for two of my, for a niece and a nephew, and those were the photos that were used in the yearbook. And obviously, I wasn't a professional photographer. When you had to go through it.
Yeah, in order for your picture to be in the yearbook, you had to go to the photographer. Otherwise, it would be not pictured. And senior pictures, we didn't have where we could, you know, like everyone else during high school, like, you know, get in a line and have one picture taken. I mean, all the seniors had to go to the photographer, which was the photographer that would come to the school. So I think it was kind of, they had a deal with
that. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Eric, I just need to ask, your kindergartner, tell me your kindergartner didn't choose the magenta background.
No, he did. He just went the standard. But he did say something funny to me. He said everyone looked like they were presidents when they were dressed up.
That is cute.
You look like you're going to work. You look like a president.
Oh, that's cute. Well, thanks for the call and Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you, girl.
Okay, Eric. We're talking a lot about how it used to be. This is Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi. In 1981, I had my pictures done, and we, all the seniors, had one picture taken with just the regular backdrop for the yearbook. But then we got to choose different places around the school to go, and the photographer went with us. So, you know, maybe you were a big sports person and you wanted to go in the gym or whatever. So I did several different poses, but the actual one I chose was by one of my favorite trees that I would pass by right by the entrance to our school every day. And it was, you know, it's kind of a shorter tree, and it was just really pretty at that time of the year. And so he, you know, they posed us, actually, you know, where I was, my hand was on the tree, one of the branches, and then, you know, we were looking over our shoulder or whatever. But it was just nice that they were all at school where we wanted to choose them. Do you know what I mean?
I would have chosen the ladies' room where we got to smoke.
I never did any of that.
Oh, do you still have the picture?
I'm sure I do.
It's in a box someplace.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome.
All right. And this is Loretta, who is a grandma, although I'll bet you there's a lot of little girls being named Loretta these days.
Oh, I don't know about that. My mother told me she named me after the nurse. She couldn't think of any names after five children.
Oh, because, I mean, those are names that are all coming back now.
Yes, I do like that. There's Sophia and Isabella. I love all those.
Right,
things.
Exactly. So what's your story?
Okay, I have three grandchildren that are all in the fourth grade, and from, you know, three different families, and they all had different picture backdrops to pick from. And I really liked it because, like you said, we used to just sit down and they would take the whole class picture and that was it. You know, you didn't have individual ones when I was in grammar school. It was just the whole class.
So the backgrounds are like what? The woods?
It was one of them picked out a waterfall and he had a little plaid shirt on and he was kind of sitting with his hands on his knees. And the other one had
very J. Crew
standing up with a tree background. You know, he's always been a tree hugger. So for him, that was perfect. You know, and the little girl, it was just a regular backdrop. But they go to three different school systems. The one's Manhattan, one's Piatone, one's Frankfurt. So they are offering that. Now, when you were saying in high school, I remembered I didn't like my picture in the yearbook, so I went to a photographer. And all my children, I had three, we all sent them to a photographer in, it was in the Kankakee area. And they all had their pictures. My one's got the one where she's laying up with her feet crossed and her hands under her chin, you know.
Oh, right.
And one wanted outside, you know, so she went to the woods, you know, and had hers done. And she had a little plaid shirt on. And I like that because it's really a part of them, what they think they're about. You know what I'm saying?
I do, but I have a question. You have three kids and you have three grandchildren. Who are all in?
I actually have five.
Okay, but
my oldest daughter has a set of twins that are 16. Then she has a 9-year-old, and then a 5-year-old.
Okay, but you said you have three grandchildren who are in the fourth grade.
Yes.
All three of your children.
We had one in December. One had one in March.
Okay.
And the other one had one in May.
Oh,
sure, we'd
okay.
love to see a picture.
It was an exhausting year. Right?
I'll just bet. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Loretta, and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you and yours.
Okay. Thanks. Bye bye. Kathy and Judy back.
This music reminds me. Yesterday we were playing Christmas music in the morning.
Yeah.
And we had our choice. Between all these, Tom's on Spotify, so we had all these different kinds of things. And we decided to choose the hip-hop Christmas.
Ah, it's so you.
Just to sample it.
Uh-huh.
Two songs and we were out of there.
you were back to Mannheim Steamroller, right?
No, we took acoustic Christmas.
Okay.
So that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
So this is still kind of Christmas related, but I thought it was pretty funny. It's from this advice column in the New York Times, and the quandary was, we got a lot of holiday gifts this year with notes that said, would you mind wrapping this? In other words, they're sending a present from, say, Amazon or whatever to their niece. And then the parents open it, and the message is, would you mind wrapping this? Or they call them up or whatever. And the parents say, yeah, we mind. And we're putting the brown box under the tree. And I just thought, it is expensive to have something gift wrapped. It's like it can be anywhere from $4 to $6.50.
Because they always they offer that option when you order online.
Right.
Right.
So I think that, you know, I kind of agree with the parents. And yet on the other hand, you know.
I don't. You know, how hard is it to get a piece of wrapping paper and some scotch tape and wrap something up?
I suppose it depends on how many you get. But anyway, the advice
So this apparently
guy,
happened a lot?
Well, the advice column guy said, if I hadn't received this question from four other readers, I wouldn't have believed it. Who does this? And he said, even online companies offer gift wrapping for a small fee. Don't waste another minute thinking about it. Place the gifts in their plain cardboard boxes under your tree. This from an advice giver.
Wow.
Professional.
Wow. Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, lots of times if you order something from Amazon, it comes in a soft wrapper. It doesn't always come in a box. You know, it comes in a, what's it called? Padded envelope.
Oh, right.
You know,
if it's clothing or something.
And then you have to go get a box.
Right.
And stuff like that. And it isn't like you sort of don't have enough else on your hands. Or I suppose if you love Christmas wrapping, which I certainly used to love, then maybe it wouldn't make any difference.
Well,
I wonder how many people that are listening had that happen.
Have had somebody send something and say, could you wrap this for Susie? Yeah,
uh-huh.
I've never heard of that. And if somebody did that for me for one of my kids, I would say, oh yeah, okay. I got paper. There was a time when for me wrapping a present was a production. There was always beautiful paper and beautiful ribbon and possibly things stuck in the ribbon. And now I looked at our tree yesterday before we all opened gifts, and I think there were ribbons on maybe 2 out of 50 presents that were under the tree.
It was just straight paper?
Yeah. Everything just wrapped up. You just rip it up anyway. I mean, you don't buy the paper only gift wrap?
No, we buy the bags and then we
sorry
to go green on you, but we recycled them.
Sure.
I've got a whole drawer of Christmas
new
bags.
Tissue. Right.
And
exactly.
Actually, Erin, yesterday, she put the book that she got for us in a bag she could find, but she couldn't find one that was close enough to hold the book except a really big one, and apparently it was just rattling around in this bag. So she took, after she opened Tom's gift to her, she took all the red paper, red tissue out and stuffed it in our bag. It was in front of our eyes, a recycle.
Was it just you and Tom and Erin then yesterday?
Yeah.
Because in our house, there were 9 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been decided by group vote that it wouldn't be an open one present at a time thing. And so as a result, I didn't see most of my gifts get opened. I mean, I was opening my gifts and I didn't see the kids opening their gifts. And I don't know. I guess when you have a lot of people, it would take forever if everybody opened their gifts one
at a
time.
It's like a baby shower.
Yeah, I guess. It just...
You know, what'd you get?
It was funny. I got from my son and daughter-in-law the same thing I gave to my daughter's boyfriend. And that was one of those electric wine openers.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Brookstone things that you just stick on top of the wine bottle and it opens it.
Is it plugged into something?
No, it's battery operated.
Oh.
Yeah.
Another battery operated.
Just about the same size, too. 312-981-7200 is our number. You can always jump in on any of our conversations. Do we have some business to take care of, Bob? Why don't we do that? And we'll be back after this. Kathy and Judy back. We're just wrapping up our conversation about having a lot of people and a lot of presents. And this is Lori. What was the situation at your house?
Oh, we went to my mom's house. We do this every Christmas. We have brunch. But it seems every year our family seems to get bigger and bigger. We had 18 people yesterday for brunch, and the youngest was 2 and a half years old.
How did you handle the present opening?
Oh, he went first because he was so excited. He started first. And then after that, it was like a free-for-all. And like you said, you didn't get to see who opened what and what, you know. It was like everybody was opening.
Right.
And everybody's going, thank you, thank you.
It's a little crazy.
I can't tell you how many. We had like 2 big black bags of wrapping paper.
Absolutely, right.
And it's just, and everybody is everywhere because my mother's home is L-shaped. And we use the dining room and the living room.
Right,
so,
and it would take forever. If each of those people opened up their presents singly, you would still be working on it.
Yes, we would. So
it just gets
and
to
my
be...
my mother would be going, please go home.
Yeah, right, exactly. Thanks for calling, Lori.
Oh, you're very welcome. Happy New Year, lady.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We're back. And Kathy sent me I don't know, was this on Facebook?
Yeah,
or
I put it on. I put it on Facebook. We had our GN Christmas event here. It was Miracle on Jerry Well Street, and it was a radio play, and it was a lot of fun, and everybody was here. People from, you know, all time slots on the station and everything. And I had an outfit picked out, and I put it on that morning, and I went, ew. You know, it wasn't working for me. So I thought, oh, wait a minute, I've got that long red sweater coat. I can wear that. So I put on my red sweater coat, and I was maybe, 45 minutes into the event when I looked down and realized that there was a big hole in the sleeve of this thing. And I had underneath it, I had a black sweater on underneath it. So, of course, that even intensified the fact that there was a hole in the sweater. And so for the rest of the morning,
it was a moth. It was big.
It probably was a moth. I mean, who has moths anymore?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
So I had this hole in the sweater, and I was really embarrassed by it. And I just kept sort of rolling the sleeve up, trying to cover it up. And when I posted that, Judy posted, she reminded me of the girlfriend who once called us, and we think it had to do with the dumbest thing I did this week. She said she went to her company picnic, and she had bought a new pair of khaki pants and didn't realize until she got home that the plastic sticker that's on the leg never was taken off, and so she spent the whole day at her company picnic wearing pants that said size 16.
So and she made us laugh much with that. I mean, it really was memorable.
We can't be the only ones who have had an event like that. I'm certainly every man in the world has to have a story of his fly being open, that he went to the bathroom and came back and apparently didn't zip up all the way, or forgot to zip up at all. Just stupid things that you realize once you got there. Oh, I have 2 different shoes on. Judy, you did that once, didn't you?
Yeah, because I bought. You know me, I like to buy in multiples.
Yes, if you like
Not
something,
that I,
you
I
buy
don't
several
lose shoes. Like I lose earrings. I mean, but
okay.
Anyway. If I see something I like and it fits me, I buy a couple of them.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, I did. I had 2 pair of flats that were interchangeable.
Like black and navy.
Yeah.
Or brown or whatever.
I've never had a navy shoe in my life.
Really?
I don't like navy.
Okay.
And so there's never been a navy in my life.
So you just would slip on 1 black shoe and 1 brown shoe.
Yeah.
I kind of remember that. Well, 312-981-7200. Whether it was at your holiday Christmas party, which was my case, or at a restaurant or anything
stupidest
else.
Thing. Well, let's make it for the month.
Okay.
The stupidest thing I did this month.
Right.
Then we called it the stupid free zone.
No, stupid free zone was a separate thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
We'll put together a list of all the features we used to have when we were on 5 days
well,
a week.
Apparently we don't remember them very well.
Well, I remember Stupid Free Zone because I remember how it started. It started because...
Tell me a story, Mommy.
One day, Evelyn Holmes, who was our traffic reporter at the time, made a reference to the spaghetti bowl. And somebody called and said, I know this is a stupid question, but I hear traffic reporters talking about this all the time. What is the spaghetti bowl? Well, it's now called the Jane Byrne Interchange, but it's that place where the Dan Ryan, the Eisenhower, and the Kennedy all come together, and there are off-ramps and on-ramps and interchanges, and it does look, from the air, it does look something like a spaghetti bowl. So that's what started Stupid Free Zone. Well, 312-981-7200. We're just talking about those moments when you were out in public and realized all of a sudden, oh, my God, there's a big hole in my sweater. Or like Linda, what was your moment, Linda?
Oh, well, my embarrassing moment was years ago I had called in to work to say I was running late. And I really was. It was I don't know what going on in the morning. So I get to work, I walk in, first person I see is my boss, and I said, I'm so sorry, you know, it was a very hectic morning. He says, obviously, your shirt is on inside out. I was, okay, which started a bunch of different comments about why I was late for work, which was true.
And whether that was the same shirt you were wearing yesterday.
Yesterday.
Exactly. All right, so you can relate.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Merry Christmas. Healthy New Year.
Thank you. And this is Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Oh, well, Christmas is come and gone just about, right? But the other night, we always have a confliction with the big family gathering, and then I want to sing. You know, I sing in choir, Christ Church. So it's like you have just this amount of time to get there. And we drove from Orland Park to Oak Brook. I'm driving, and I'm putting my lipstick on, my long-lasting lipstick, so it stays on.
Okay.
You know how you dab each cheek with the lipstick? And rubbing it in. And
oh, you mean instead of using blush?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I get the blush out, right? Get there, run in. I mean, they are starting to walk up to get ready to process in. And I saw people going, hello, hello. And then I saw one guy, and he said, oh, that's okay. You got time. And I said, do I have time to go in the bathroom? To go to the bathroom. I looked in the mirror, and I had these huge red cheeks like Raggedy Ann.
But
well, what did you think? I mean, didn't you remember that it was your impermeable lipstick?
No, I thought I looked in there and kind of smeared it around. So you should see me with the toilet paper trying to.
I'll bet.
But thank God, because when I saw that man, I said, excuse me, Bill, did you not notice something? Well, you know, do they look at, you know, Grandma Moses, right? They go less, but oh, my gosh, how funny.
But it came off, but it did come off with some Kleenex and maybe
rosy
some.
Cheeks, but from far away, you know, from the choir.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But I thought that was a scream.
That's what we mean, Susan. Thank you.
Yeah.
Kathy, you always say.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. We cut her off. You always say that, and I'd never heard this before or thought about it, but I think it's true, that when you get older, because you can't see very well,
yes,
you're like an older women put like two big red pink dots. Or,
absolutely. For blush and
there's no blending.
And eyebrows. I'm noticing that now.
What?
Well, I mean, as we get older, our eyebrows thin out. And I think a lot of women take their eyebrow pencil and draw a new eyebrow, and it's, you know, it's not
always...
Looks
like an old lady withdrawing an eyebrow.
It's not always a pretty picture. From the text line, when my son was about 4 and we were new to the neighborhood, I took him trick-or-treating and met all the neighbors with my fly wide open. So that's what we're talking, those embarrassing moments involving clothing. Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Debbie.
Hello. I used to work at a hospice, and I was going to a middle school to talk about, you know, very serious matters. And I was up in front of the group before the group started. I had gone to the restroom, and I had a long skirt on, and unbeknownst to me, it was caught up in
up in the back of your pantyhose, your pants.
And luckily, two very nice girls had had stopped me in the front of the row and before the whole class started and said, I think you ought to adjust something in the back of your skirt.
Yeah, why wouldn't people tell? I've told guys that their fly is open. Wouldn't guys?
Oh, yeah, that's a
wouldn't people
thing
like
to
know that?
Yes,
yeah, they
always
would
ask
like to know it.
If they'd like to know, you know, that there's something in their teeth or...
Exactly.
A piece of lint on their shirt or something.
I would much rather somebody says, oop, you got a great big spinach gobber there. Or the other thing is boogers. Sometimes you're not aware of the fact, because God knows I've seen people who aren't, that there is a booger hanging out of their nose. Well, wouldn't people want to know that?
Well, here's an example where you wouldn't, where it would be very hard. Suppose
okay.
you were interviewing for a job.
Okay, and we have a caller who has a job interview story, yes.
Okay, and the person that's interviewing you sees that you have a booger, but
yes.
do you think he knows or she knows you well enough to, don't you think? I mean, it would throw you off anyway.
I don't know. Debbie, wouldn't you want to know?
Yes, I would want to know so that I wouldn't be embarrassed by the fact that maybe 10 people had seen it.
Exactly, right.
Yes.
Well, 312, yeah. Thanks, Deb. 312-981-7200 is the number. We'll be back with more of your calls about embarrassing clothing situations after this. I think I'm dumb. Thank you, Bob, for the dumb song. We're talking about when you show up someplace and don't realize until somewhat later that you have a hole in your sweater or there's toilet paper sticking out of the back of your pants. 312-981-7200. This is...
Let's talk to Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Yes. Hi, Kathy and Judy. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You do.
Yeah, yes. We live in Grand Rapids, and my wife's ex-boss was transferred to Chicago, and he bid on a tour of WGN about 8-9 years ago.
Huh.
So we're getting a tour, and he knew we loved WGN and listened to it, and so he invited us. Of course, we took him up on it, and as we're going through the back rooms, we ran across this somewhat new guy by the name of Steve Cochran.
Uh-huh.
And they introduced us to him, and an assistant came up behind him and pulled the sticker tag off the back of his shirt that gave the size of the shirt, and Cochran said, hey, put that back. I'm going to turn it back in after I play golf. And I thought that was hilarious at the time, but I learned from that. Ever since then, when I buy new clothes, I scour them and make sure I take off any stickers because I learned from Steve doing that when we met him in the studio many years ago.
So what was the size?
As a guy, I didn't memorize it because I wouldn't want people to memorize my size. So I just blanked it out.
There you go.
Are you that nice?
Yes, I am. You ask anybody.
So, you know, actually, in men's clothes, if it's not just small, medium, or large, I don't know what a big size is. You know, I mean, if something said 58 on it, I mean, I'd know it was a big size, and you'd know by the person who was in it. But basically, if it's a sports shirt, don't they do just small, medium, large? And they don't do 32, 34.
They can do XL, double XL,
right,
triple XL, that
right.
kind of thing. And when you start getting to those, then you know.
They're big.
You're getting larger.
They're
yeah,
very
exactly.
big, right, right.
Yeah. So I learned from Steve Cochran to check my clothes.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
You're welcome. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. This is Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I love listening to you, gals, and I was so sad when you went off the air, so I'm thrilled that you're back on
Thank
Saturday
you.
Morning.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
What's your story?
I've got a lot, but I've gotten smarter as I've gotten older, and I tend to look at myself in the mirror before I leave now. But I was notorious for buttoning my blouse wrong, so it would always be cockeyed on me.
Oh, one, yeah, off one button.
Right, right. And my mother was always telling me that I had my pants zipped the wrong way. They should be in the back instead of the front. But the most embarrassing thing, and actually a slow learner, I guess, is what I am, because it happened 3 times to me. Now, it doesn't happen anymore, fortunately. But I would go into the ladies' room, and if they didn't have the covers for the toilet, I would put down tissue paper.
Sure.
And then pull up my slacks and proceed, you know, out. And 3 times I was caught with a little tail. And fortunately, it was always the nice woman that would say, Miss, you know, you have something hanging from your back. So anyway.
Well, at least she told you before many more people saw it.
Well, either that or the ones that saw it just had a quick laugh, you know, at my expense.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so, exactly.
But yeah, I went to work one time with two different shoes on and the size of my pants on my leg. And I just, I guess, was not very concerned or not smart enough to look in the mirror and check myself.
So, well, anyway. Keep listening, because Kath, because we have somebody that could answer the booger question for us. This is Jerry. You had a booger hanging out in an interview, or the interviewer did?
No. I just said my thoughts if that happened.
Ah.
I think my reaction if I had the booger hanging out, I'd just pick it and flick it. You're probably not going to get hired anyway.
Well, but would you rather sit there with a booger visible or have the interviewer say, you might want to check your left nostril there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You'd want to be told.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thanks, all Jerry. Right. And this is Elise. Elise, you went on an interview. Was it a booger situation or something else?
No, I actually went and I was with someone, my supervisor, and I'm a teacher, and we were going to, my class was moving to a different school. I actually still teach at the school that Judy's kids went to junior high. I've been there 30 years. And I went on this interview, and we're walking into this new building because I was going to be there for a year, and I look down at my feet, and I have two different shoes on. But I had the other pair in the car. I had brought extra shoes. I went back, and she's like, what's wrong with you? We've got to get in there. And I go, I have to go back to my car. I left something. And it took me probably 20 minutes just to calm down from doing that. But I got the job.
Oh,
how
good.
Come you're traveling with shoes in your car?
Because I wore a pair of shoes to work, and I wanted to wear nicer shoes to walk in. I just had an extra pair in there for some reason, and when I switched shoes, I left one on.
Oh, but you don't normally do that, or
I don't normally do that. I just happened to have them, and I was changing because I don't know if I changed clothes or something, and it was like, it took me 20 minutes to calm down. I'm so, you know. But
yeah.
Did you ever have either of my kids in your class?
No, I don't think I was there when they were there.
Oh, okay. Just checking up.
I'm a special ed teacher, so probably not.
No, yeah. Okay. Well, they're special kids. Elise, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. This is Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hi there, Kathy and Judy.
Hi. What's your awkwardness story?
Well, many years ago, I was a young lawyer appearing before a judge, and I was going to bring my 8-year-old daughter and 4-year-old son into the judge's chambers to meet the judge. He came out behind the desk, and his zipper was down, and his shirt tail was hanging out. And all my kids do is just to stare at that part of his pants until the little meeting was over.
Oh, and the judge didn't realize that they were watching?
Well, I don't know. He never said anything, and I never said anything.
He probably said, you know, that guy's kids can't make eye contact.
Right.
He
yeah.
really has to work better on that.
Right.
More on that.
All right, Mike, thanks. And our final caller is Patricia. Hey, Patricia, what was your story?
Oh, my story was, actually, I didn't even realize something happened. I belong to a large church as big as the cathedral in South Chicago. And years ago, they had the communion rail. And so the rail was gigantic. And when you got up to the railing, you waited a long time before the priest came to you. But in the meantime, people were standing behind you. And here
and you were kneeling.
And I was kneeling.
Right.
And right in the bottom of my shoes was this big price tag and the size of my shoes. Big. I never realized that it was on the bottom. And, of course, I was there a long time, so the people behind me had a good look for a long time. I didn't realize till I got home what happened, and now I will never, never put on a shoe without turning it over to make sure there's nothing on the back.
How much were they? Were they extremely expensive?
The shoes, you know, I don't even remember that part. I just remember that when I got home and I realized that all these people were able to see what was on the bottom of my shoe.
Mm-hmm.
It was just,
well, at least it wasn't dog poop.
No. But
there you
to
go.
Me, you know, that was so many years ago, I can't even remember when the last time we had the communion rail. And it just, it would just say, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what do people think? Here I am, I'm there, they could see this, and it was just crazy. So now,
and you still remember it. It still sticks.
It's something
there
that really just stuck in my mind, and now you'll never find anything on the bottom of my shoes again.
There you go. Thanks, Patricia.
Unless I step in it.
Bye-bye.
Kathy and Judy back. We are miles apart, but our hearts are together.
Yes, they are.
So this morning, Tom, my husband, said, "Where's my coffee cup?" And I said, "I don't know. You know, how would I know?" And I'm thinking, there are about 17 coffee cups in the coffee cup shelf. But he likes his coffee cup. And we once talked about this, your affinity, how coffee tastes best in a certain cup for you. But the thing was, there's another coffee cup just like it on the shelf. But he likes to use apparently only one of them. So he most frequently always starts looking for his coffee cup in the dishwasher because he's put it in the dishwasher the day before. Mm-hmm. I haven't run the dishwasher, mind you, but that's the one he wants to use. He'll rinse it out, you know, extra well and stuff like that. The same thing happens in Chicago. He has two coffee cups that say Tommy, and he only uses one at a time.
Okay.
And I thought it. I have a favorite coffee cup here, too, but I alternate. I mean, I have a lot of different ones that I like, so I'm okay. But at home, I always have to have a white coffee cup.
That was one of the things I was made aware of when I moved, when I was cleaning out cabinets. I had something like 16 coffee mugs. Mm-hmm. I seldom have 15 people over for coffee.
Didn't you have 18 last night? Was that you with 18? No, that was one of our listeners.
I had a lot. It ended with teen. And I wound up bringing a lot of them over to the resale shop. What is a person who lives alone and doesn't often have more than one or two people over for coffee need 16 coffee cups for? So Tom has, out of how many coffee cups would you guess are in your cabinet right now?
I'd say 16.
Right, exactly. Has one that likes.
Works. Right.
Right, yeah.
Right. And I just thought it'd be fun to talk again to some people about their attachment to a certain coffee cup. Now, I know mine has transferred over the years, but I guess I don't have any more of the ones that used to be important to me. But I will swear that my coffee tastes best in those that are my favorites.
Really?
It's just better.
I can't relate, but I'm not disputing that it tastes better to people in a certain cup.
I think there is a definite, call us at 312-981-7200. I think there is a definite attachment between a person and his or her coffee cup.
I think that a lot of times I would see at work that people would have their own mugs there. And sometimes some of them are so disgusting that you can't believe that somebody doesn't see that before they pour the next cup of coffee into there. There's sort of a brown slime that builds up around the inside of the cup.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever seen that? And people continue to use those cups.
Without rinsing them?
Apparently they rinse them out. But coffee's oily.
Yeah.
And so those oils stick around there. And it's pretty disgusting what some people will actually drink coffee out of. And so maybe in some cases that's what makes it taste better.
When you packed, you know,
cleared out Princeton, right?
For a coffee cup at a resale shop, like 50 cents?
I didn't buy them at the resale shop. I brought them to the resale shop.
Right, but I wonder what they get priced at.
Oh, I'll bet you 10 cents.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't imagine that it would be worth any more than that to anybody. Can't you buy a coffee mug at a,
like, Tuesday morning or something?
Or at a dollar store or something? Can't you buy a coffee cup for a dollar?
I would think so.
Yeah.
The dollar store, certainly.
Price check. Remember right. that?
Yeah.
Price
yeah.
check at the dollar store. Yeah.
So here's my question.
All right.
When you took the
coffee
mugs
right.
over there,
right.
did you leave three that matched?
No, it was in a it was in a box with a bunch of other stuff. I have no idea how resale shops
make any money.
No, I know how they make money. They make good money on volume, but the amount of stuff, and maybe somebody who works in resale shops can attest to this. The amount of stuff that accumulates, and apparently people, if they look at it and go, well, that's too crappy for me, I'll give it to the resale shop, particularly with clothes. There is so much stuff at resale shops. And I know the one that I went to in Princeton was run by the churches, by 10 or 12 churches in Princeton.
So close to charity.
Oh yeah, and there were women there all the time sorting stuff, but I never dropped stuff off that I didn't see that the walls were piled high with unsorted stuff. So it almost seems like an insurmountable task to go through all that stuff.
I think the section that I remember this one shop that I went to several times closed down, but the one unmovables I think were the, like, you'd get five linen placemats. Now nobody uses linen placemats anymore, I don't think.
I'll bet they sell.
Oh, and I was saying that I thought they didn't move at all.
See, and I my guess is that a lot of resale shops see a lot of repeat customers.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, here comes Helen. Helen's in every week, or Helen's in three or four times a week. I think a lot of hoarders frequent resale shops. So while they don't need five linen placemats, they might buy them because they're pretty and because they're there. And then they'll wind up in a pile somewhere and never get used.
Well, if somebody
this is a little
is
detour, a res- but
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
If somebody uses it, does run a retail shop,
resale, right?
Call us and let us know at 312-981-7200 whether or not you think what Kathy's assumption.
I think a lot of hoarders are in resale shops a lot. I think they go there, resale shops and rummage sales and stuff like that. I also think a lot of people who like to save money go to resale shops, but that would be my guess.
I don't think I ever told you this.
What's that?
In the olden days, when something had to be typed perfectly and I wasn't working on a computer and I was sending an article to a magazine,
mm-hmm.
there were people who were typists.
Right.
That you could take your work to and count on that. You were one?
Mm-hmm.
Someone would bring you a magazine article and mm-hmm. you would type it?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, God, you must be an infallible typer.
Better business services.
Can I help you?
Yes, right.
Anyway, there was a woman who lived across from the Baha'i Temple. She was very lovely and... the first time I went into her house, I was shocked because it was a big house. The first room off of the hallway was filled with white plaster figurines about 12 inches tall. I'd say she maybe had 1,000 of them.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought,
well, are you going to do with those?
Is this a hobby or a disease? You know, I mean, it was really, really strange. And I never screwed up the courage
to ask her.
No,
what's,
I never did. Yeah.
We started out talking about coffee cups and why some people love a particular cup. And this is Chuck, who can relate, right, Chuck?
Yes. A lot of times, even when I clean a coffee cup up, why, I'll use you know, a paper towel and just you know, wipe the what, you know, stain or
residue,
whatever.
Right?
Because I can taste the soap, you know, if I you know, use soap, mm-hmm. you know, to clean
even if
it.
You even if you rinse it out well.
Oh well, I suppose he well, I would probably rinse it out with coffee.
So
you know, afterwards, but I do the same thing with beer.
So I would know? Look in your coffee cup sitting on the counter and go, "Ew."
Sometimes it does get kind of disgusting looking if I look at it from somebody else's point of view because there are stains.
But it makes the coffee taste good.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. You remember how they were all upset because their cups were cleaned up?
Oh right, yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's hard to imagine, but if you like soap in your coffee, then that's the cup for you.
All right, we also wound up talking about resale shops, and this is Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hi, I was an exterminator for a number of years, and I serviced a number of those shops. And the thing, and I'm going to hand this out as an advisement. When you go in, don't take your purse in. Carry cash in your pocket. Because they're notorious for people, you know, when you go in the changing room,
yeah,
you set your purse down. Purses from homes that have roaches, they'll get in those purses because they can smell the gum and the candy.
Oh my gosh!
They'll carry them around in their purses all over town, and they'll set their purse down in the changing room, and roaches will crawl out. And if you go in with the purse and set it down on that seat next to you, so you're changing your pants or your skirt, a roach could easily get in there. That was very common, and that's why I really heavily treated the
dressing
rooms.
Wow.
You betcha.
So ew.
Don't take your purses in.
Thanks for leaving that image in our head, Mike.
Yeah, and I'm sure all the resale shop owners are
particularly
pleased with.
Well, you know,
your observation.
Mike, thanks. There used to be 4 or 5 years ago, before reality shows were huge, a reality show about Southwest Airlines. I can't remember what it was called. No. And Southwest Airlines was fully involved, and they had crews, you know, photo crews on the planes and in the gates and everything else. And I remember one story was a guy who came with a suitcase, and the baggage handlers could see roaches crawling on the outside of the suitcase. And they wouldn't take the suitcase because they wouldn't want to put it in with other luggage. Uh-huh. And when he opened the suitcase, it was like a horror movie. And you think, what kind of life does somebody have?
Ill. He must have been mentally ill to take a suitcase crawling with roaches.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know.
Well, that's a little Kathy and Judy detour. We'll try and get back on track after this.
Or we can talk roaches.
They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Thank you, Bob Ferguson. We started talking out about coffee cups and how some people get awfully attached to a single coffee cup. And then we wound up taking a little resale shop detour. And this is Jean with an observation about resale shops. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I feel really badly for resale shops because the experience that Mike was talking about, obviously his business must have been centered around a major city, because I've been to thrift shops thousands of times over the years, over many, many, many decades, and never had the least bad experience. Years ago, my husband was a up-and-coming executive in a company, and we had a really, really elegant invite to some kind of fundraising thing in Chicago, and I could not imagine trying to find something really good-looking and special for that event. And I went to a resale shop in Arlington Heights and found a coat dress that I cut down for a jacket and teamed it up with a really beautiful dress. And we have very wealthy relatives, and she came by and saw it in my closet. I think the name was Sally May of the coat dress or something. She said, "Oh my goodness, that's a lovely piece," and had no idea that, you know, I had tailored it and gotten it ready. And then as years went on, and you know, times were much better, I still frequent the one next to across from my bank in Palatine that raises money for abused and, you know, women who have had to leave their homes, shelter,
right,
shelters. And my grandson is 5 in Reading, and I, from the beginning, every time I went to their house, which is a couple times a month at least, I always took a book, and I'm sort of the grandma bookmobile, and I find books there. I buy books everywhere. I mean, there's just, and I will not buy anything made in China that is used for tableware.
Will you ever shop retail, or do you?
Oh, I shop everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the point is, I don't want to have coffee cups and things that are made in China, because I think they're so, you know, if they're poisoning our pets, I just don't want them to start on us. And there have been all kinds of things where they've put melamine and, you know, other ingredients and things that have sickened animals and so forth. So I just don't, you know, I want to find things that were made in this country that I know are safe to use.
What's the best score you ever made, Jean?
Pardon?
Besides,
what's your best resale?
Yeah, your best resale shop score, besides the fancy dress.
Yeah, oh, I'd really have to think. There are so many coups. You know, just I have 2 sons who went to school in suburban high school, and both were drummers. And I have found accessories and things that they needed, including a snare drum that was just incredible. And, you know, when you have to provide drum sets, you also have to, and you have to have them in your home. Well, then they have to have drums for school, for band practice and performance and stuff. And I mean, there is just no limit to what I can come up with at estate sales back in the day, thrift shops, you know. I mean, there is just, it's just unbelievable. We're now looking for a raincoat for the 5-year-old that is as nice as the one I found in that same thrift shop 2 or 3 years ago. School bus yellow, beautifully made. We looked at Land's End. We looked everywhere online this Christmas, and the zipper reports are bad. There's some plastic someone complained about in the review. You know, really, I think they are a gold mine.
Okay. Well, right. You obviously
are a sewing machine. So,
big fan, Jean. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you. Glad to hear you girls are back on Saturdays.
Thanks. We are too. Thanks. And this is another Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi, it's me again. I called earlier, but I'm still listening. And I just wanted to make a couple comments. I do give to resale shops all of the time because I'm not a hoarder. I'm a minimalist. I like to get rid of things.
Okay.
And I'll go to the van and I'll look for someone else's nice little thing that I can bring home. And the other thing is about the linen placemats. I have all kinds of placemats because I have different dishes, and if I'm on the patio, I have a different, more casual set. And I don't feel that a table is really dressed with just a plate on the table. And the
no, but the linen has to be ironed. That's the thing. Do you iron them?
No. Okay, no, I apologize. No, I use placemats, but not linen that I have to iron. I hate to iron.
Okay.
I want everything that can be wiped off or washed and tumble dried and, you know.
Make it easy on yourself.
It's the ironing factor.
Okay. All right.
I just donated actually 6 lovely tablecloths to a resale shop because they're just too much work for me. I hate having to worry about taking them to the cleaners or ironing
okay.
them.
Okay, so you donate and you shop there. You cover both ends of the resale spectrum.
Yeah, I don't get
All right.
clothes there, but other things I get.
Okay. All
Thanks,
right.
Kathy.
Thank you, Kath.
Have a happy New Year, ladies.
Thanks. Well, I expect we will. And finally, right back to where we started from, this is Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
I'm a coffeeholic, and I don't care what container it's in.
Paper.
I want to drink coffee, and as long as it's between cup, I don't really plastic, but you know, as long as it's some kind of a ceramic or pottery.
Okay, so then you do care. I mean, you want it to be, right, you want it to be ceramic. You don't want paper. How do you feel?
No.
I was going to ask if, when you say you're a coffee addict,
I'll drink out of paper.
Okay, let me just finish this question, though, because you describe yourself as being a coffee addict. How many cups of coffee do you have a day?
Okay, I don't go by cups.
I go by, I drink about a gallon a day.
Oh, my gosh. How much do you sleep at night?
No problem. I can have a cup of coffee and go right to sleep.
You drink a gallon of coffee a day?
And the reason I know that's fairly accurate is that I fill 2-quart carafes with coffee, at the beginning of work. Uh-huh. And then at lunchtime, I refill them both. They're both empty.
Do you have gastric reflux?
No.
And you're not on any sedative kind of medication?
No.
You drink fully caffeinated coffee?
I have low normal blood pressure.
Holy smokes. Well, that's...
Boy, you are one in a row.
That's a lot of coffee, right? That is a lot of coffee. Well, Susan, have a happy and caffeinated new year.
Thank you.
Okay. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.